I think that it is very hard for all of us to believe that God is at work in the ordinary and the small and the slow. I'm one small person, and so I can do small things. But in some cases, I'm the only one who can do those things.
Welcome to the Jesus Storybook Bible Podcast, a place where we remind you that grace can rewrite any story, that hope shines a light through our darkest moments, and that God's love changes lives. Here's your host, New York Times bestselling author, Sally Lloyd-Jones.
Hello, I'm Sally Lloyd-Jones, author of the Jesus Storybook Bible, which tells the story of God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Welcome to the show. We're talking today about the goodness of God and the goodness of the world he's created for us and the invitation that God gives to each of us to join him in his beautiful work of bringing flourishing to every corner of creation. We talk about music and hospitality and imagination and love. And we talk about one question we might be wanting to ask ourselves every morning. We also talk about the value of the small and the ordinary. Our guests today are husband and wife, Charlie Peacock and Andy Ashworth. Charlie is a 4-times Grammy Award-winning recording artist, composer, and record producer. His production credits include The Civil Wars, The Lone Bellow, Switchfoot, John Foreman, Ben Rector, to name just a few. A longtime advocate for social justice, he's worked directly with the One campaign, a fruitful relationship that began in 2002 when he hosted co-founder Bono. Andy is a writer, diarist, master gardener, cook, maker of home, and lover of good books. Andy has been a companion along the way to many people, sharing stories about life and its challenges over meals, walks, and cups of tea. Her book, Real Love for Real Life, has inspired many to think about vocation in a broader sense. And Andy and Charlie are co-founders of Art House America, a nonprofit committed to the encouragement of imagination and creativity for the common good. Our conversation today put me in mind of a favorite writer, Robert Farah Capon. Capon says this about the ordinary versus the miraculous, quote, "Only miracle is plain. It is in the ordinary that groans with the weight of glory." And he says this about our gifts. Why do we marry? Why take friends and lovers? Why give ourselves to music, painting, chemistry, or cooking? Out of simple delight in the resident goodness of creation, of course. But out of more than that, too. Half the earth's gorgeousness lies hidden in the glimpsed city it longs to become. And finally, this wonderful encouragement from Robert Capon. It's something for us all. Trust him. And when you've done that, you are living the life of grace. No matter what happens to you in the course of that trusting, no matter how many waverings you may have, no matter how many suspicions you may have, no matter how much heaviness and sadness your lapses, vices, indispositions, and bratty whining may cause you, you believe simply that somebody else, by his death and resurrection, has made it all right. And you just say, thank you, and shut up. The whole slop closet full of mildewed performances, which is all you have to offer, is simply your death. It is Jesus who is your life. If he refused to condemn you because your works were rotten, he certainly isn't going to flunk you because your faith isn't so hot. You can fail utterly, therefore, and still live the life of grace. You can fold up spiritually, morally, and intellectually, and still be safe. Because at the very worst, all you can be is dead. And for him, who is the resurrection and the life, that makes you his cup of tea. Well, now that we've mentioned cups of tea several times, I need one. But no, seriously, I'm so excited for you to hear from Andy and Charlie. You'll be blessed like I was and so inspired. So, without further ado, please welcome my friends and now yours, Andy Ashworth and Charlie Peacock.
I'm Charlie Peacock. I am primarily a musician, although as life has gone on, I have kind of taken on the broader descriptor of artist overall, because I'm interested in all things artistic, but certainly known more as a musician.
I'm Andy Ashworth, and I am a writer and a cook, and that's only because I've done so much cooking and so much feeding people over the last 40 years of my life. And I'm a gardener and a grandmother. And then I've been quite busy over a lifetime creating places that I hope will shelter people and bring comfort to them and inspire them and just be places where we can be human together and talk and get to know one another.
Well, music has always been a point of connection for me, beginning with my family. My father was a musician, and my mother loved to sing songs around the house. I grew up listening to Dave Brubeck and Tony Bennett and Miles Davis and all the great singers of the day, Ella Fitzgerald and so on. So that was the music that was in our house. And then I also had an aunt, and she was the one that exposed me to the Beatles and the Beach Boys and all the top 40 songs of the era of my childhood. So the connections were always personal first. They were all about living in a place with people and the music that surrounded our family. My dad did not like country music, which then was called country and western, but my uncle loved it. And I was fine with that because that exposed me to a whole bunch of music that I otherwise would not have heard. Buck Owens and Merle Haggard. When I first started playing in bands in high school, there was the connection of friends that, hey, let's start a band together, which was my first experiences of living in sort of micro communities with people and seeing how incredibly difficult that was, which is why bands don't stay together very long. And then there came a time when it became obvious that this was something that I excelled at and began to play with people that were, you know, 5 to 10 years older than me. And I was always the youngest person in the room or in the band or on the stage. And that led to me seeing that this could be a career. This could be a path for me vocationally. And my dad was a teacher, music teacher, and he thought I should be a music teacher. But there was a different path for me. Moving from being a vocational musician in my little town in Northern California to seeing that the whole world could be my stage and my playground. And by God's grace, people came around me, you know, one at a time, two at a time, and helped me to realize that dream.
The art house, it began in the pages of my husband's journal back in the very early 90s. So it started as an idea and a very strong sense of calling. And it really took form in a place. And that was a very beautiful century-old country church. In the beginning of this place, people came, whether they were students or artists or people of all kinds of different vocations and ages. They came to listen to teachers and have conversations and make friends around homemade cookies and lemonade or hot apple cider in the winter. And core ideas and the purpose were interrelated. And the first was to grow in the knowledge of the Bible and to connect the dots to the whole of our life. And then related in really a strong purpose. The art house began as a place and it became an organization, and that later spread to Dallas and St. Paul. One of my favorite things is to sit with somebody and share life stories back and forth and to have connecting conversations and just to be human together. It fills a great need in my soul. Through the years of hospitality practice, I've learned that it really is no small thing to create a place. In my later years, I continue to learn that hospitality is like love. It's a living, breathing, inexhaustible subject. It's just really a way of life. You can't contain it. And it can be as simple as offering kindness and curiosity to another person, to those more complex forms of providing food and shelter. So hospitality is both simple and it's complex and it's broad and it's for a lifetime.
The world has been in crisis for a long time. Certainly we have seasons of better health than others. So it's really more a matter of entering into your place in this big, grand world that is both glory and shame and wholeness and brokenness. So asking the question, well, you know, how do I do that? And what is it that I do? I'm always in the process of collecting new information and being corrected on maybe some information that I didn't get quite right or understand quite right, and building on that, and then intentionally asking every day, what is my contribution to the world going to be today? What is my contribution to the culture to which I am literally soaking in? I'm right in the middle of it. I don't have to try to be in it. I'm in it. And so that's where intentionality and imagination and empathy are so incredibly important to anyone who wants to be known as someone who is actively and intentionally creating the world that God has left us steward over. I love God through Jesus Christ, who is really the king and the authority over my life and my direction for living. And so I know that these things matter greatly to God, that we have a mission here on earth to not just make the world that we want to live in, but to make a world, for those of us who are following Jesus, to make a world that is congruent with the kingdom mission that he set out before us and invited us to participate in. We've received a really remarkable grand invitation to be participants. And that doesn't take away from our folly or take away from our brokenness. I mean, all of that's real. But we are made to participate with God in the making of the world. And I think that's a pretty big gig myself, and not something to be diminished. And then it's a matter of where you've put your confidence. And by putting your confidence in the highest form of confidence, then you should have a very positive outlook for where history is going.
I read the Jesus Storybook Bible to our grandchildren when they were young and when they were growing up, and they would spend the night, and it's just such a beautiful...
Well, they loved it too.
Yeah, and they loved it.
This is a passage from the Jesus Storybook Bible called The Terrible Lie, where Adam and Eve lose everything from Genesis 3. Even though he knew he would suffer, God had a plan, a magnificent dream. One day he would get his children back. One day he would make the world their perfect home again. And one day he would wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, no matter what, in spite of everything, God would love his children with a never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love.
And though they would forget him and run from him, deep in their hearts, God's children would miss him always and long for him. Lost children yearning for their home. Before they left the garden, God whispered a promise to Adam and Eve. It will not always be so. I will come to rescue you. And when I do, I'm going to do battle against the snake. I'll get rid of the sin and the dark and the sadness you let in here. I'm coming back for you. And he would. One day, God himself would come. This passage is such a beautiful reminder to me that God's covenant of love stretches from beginning to end, and that his promises to put things right in a very broken world will not fail. And Jesus has met us in our brokenness again and again and again. And we long for more. We long for more in ourselves, in our family, in our city, in the world. We long for more rightness, more justice, more peace, more healing. And this image of God wiping away our tears and making the world our perfect home again, it moves me to tears every time I read it. And my hope is renewed because my hope is in Christ and in His faithfulness to His never giving up, always and forever love.
You can get the Jesus Storybook Bible wherever books are sold. To find out more about the book and all of Sally's other books, please visit Sally at sallyloyd-jones.com and follow her on Instagram at sallyloydjones and at jesus_storybook_bible.
Before we go, don't forget, God loves you with a never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Oh, hello, it's me again, Sally. I'm just popping back briefly to say two things. The first thing is, don't forget to subscribe to the show, because that way you'll get the stories straight to your phone. And the other thing is, while we're at it, would you rate the show and leave us a review? That would be so great, because it helps other people find the show too. I really appreciate your help. Thank you.